Yo, it's like a magic day. Fifth Friday of the month, in front of a fifth Saturday of the month, in front of a holiday, in front of a Monday start to the month. You can't ask for any more than this. We're going to talk about March sales, valuations, hot dogs. Whatever. Yeah, for real. Look, we got to check in on that Costco hot dog.
We do have to check in. I was telling Nathan before, I was like, wow, this is like our annual check in on the hot dog. How's it doing? Right?
You know,
hey, Paul, I don't know if you knew this. You probably know this because you're looking at the show notes, but I didn't know this when I woke up.
Me neither.
That this is episode 700.
700. That is okay, weird, man.
Track back with me. A lot of people in this community know who Glenn Lundy is. And I remember the time when he had like his 1,000th episode.
Yep.
And I was like, there's no way
I'm not going to live to be that old.
1,000 episodes of a thing. Right.
I know it.
And now I'm like 700. Uh-huh. I know how, you know, like 300 days from now, like that's a possibility. It's kind of
do some calculations here. 700 times probably an average episode of 9,100 minutes. So we're going to go. All right. We only have 151 hours in.
Oh, that kind of makes me sad.
Not even close to our 10,000, man.
Oh man, it's all good.
Thank you so much. If you've been here from the beginning, just massive appreciation, because that's a lot of podcasting. It's a lot of emails. It's a lot of events. Yep. It's a lot of energy. It's a lot of social media posts. And I just want to thank the team Isotu, because the team has changed and shifted over the years. But the Isotu crew is so much behind the ability to put on 700 shows and put out social media content and plan massive industry events like IsotuCon that's coming up and be there at NADA and cover the show on the ground and write articles. So special shout out to the Isotu crew. Definitely to our producer, Nathan, who's on the show with us, having things ready and making sure you can see us, on the regular.
You know, So Steve C, I don't know how to say his last name, but a lot of people know him on LinkedIn. He's got a little bit of a snarky bit to his.
He's got a C and an S and a Z, right? And a Y all close to each other.
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of letters that are all consonants in his last name.
He needs to come to IsotuCon, by the way.
He said something like, when I see these guys come through, it's like standing on the edge of a train platform as the train is pulling into the station, just whizzing by. And I would say that is all because of the Isotu crew. It feels like that. It feels like this constant emotion because of Nathan and Kelly and Christy and Chris. And I could go down the whole list, but it's everyone putting in that work.
For sure. And they believe in what we're doing. They believe in the More Than Cars mentality, the More Than Cars mission, because let me just tell you something. Yep. It's really hard work. We have a small team doing a lot of things. I read on a website called 37 Signals. They invented, Ruby on Rails and a bunch of products like Basecamp. Yep. And they said, small teams can accomplish big things, but it's very hard for big teams to accomplish small things. And I was like, that's the truth. But our small team accomplishes how many people are on the team right now? I'm terrible with this.
12. Our 12, including you, me, and Cirilla.
12 probably feel like 30 if you look at the amount of stuff that goes out. And from the inside, it probably feels like we're doing the work of 30, but that's okay. give them some love. You see them out there on LinkedIn or social media, please give them some love. Let them know you appreciate them and all the hard work that they do, because you wouldn't see anything if it wasn't for the team behind us. Speaking of the work that you're going to get to see, experience in person, IsotuCon is coming in super hot. We are 46 days out. Is that correct? No. Is it 46?
We say it ain't so.
Oh, we're getting thumbs up.
No.
I thought it was like 50.
You're kidding me.
No, 46 days out 46. From IsotuCon. We just announced the agenda yesterday. So if you go to IsotuCon.com and click on agenda, you can filter it by day, by stage. We have about 80% of the content up there, and I think you're going to be really surprised at the depth and the breadth of content we have up there. Very practical, practical sessions to help you learn something, take it back to your store, back to your business, implement. If you need to convince your GM or your owner to let you go, this is what should arm you to do that. If you are a GM or an owner, you should look at this list. Look at the people that are going to be there. Look at the top performing dealers who are a part of the speaker roster and say, how can I rub shoulders with them, learn from what they're doing, best practices? We're talking about fixed ops, sales, marketing. Brian Benstock's giving our closing day one keynote, just gave us the title last night. It's early to bed, early to rise, wake your ass up and advertise. He said Arnold Schwarzenegger said it, ripped it from Ted Turner, and now it's Ben Stock. So you're gonna get all the heat if you're there. So go to asotocon.com, get your ticket, book your hotel room like right away, because our full room allocation, which is literally the majority of the hotel, like vast majority of the hotel, is almost out. So if you're on the fence, get off the fence, get the ticket, and be there with us. Let's get to it. That's a SoCon. Got some news.
We got some good stuff to talk about this.
It's hard, man.
This is one of those good show days.
Sometimes we're scraping the bottom of the barrel. Today's the day. March is on track to be a standout month in auto sales, the strongest, actually, in 3 years, with sales volumes expected to exceed 1.4 million vehicles in March. The surge, fueled by higher incentives, higher inventories, keeping consumer interest high as the spring selling season, as we know, is in full swing. So volumes estimated to surpass 1.4 million, which is a 5 to 6% increase from last year. Quarterly sales are looking at around 3.76 million, which is up the quarter over quarter, 5.5%. Jeff Schuster from Global Data says consumers are shelling out cash for new vehicles, talking about the impact of an inventory availability and incentives on that inventory. Mixed results are anticipated across automakers due to different inventory challenges. Obviously, Toyota, Honda, and Mazda may see 14 to 22% gains this year over last year. If you remember, they were having more inventory issues last year than the domestics. And the average transaction price is going down, fell to $47,244, which is a 2% decrease from last year. And check this, EV day supply, even the EVs, down to 114 from 159. So
that's a lot. That's a massive market day supply change. Well, and, could be because there's being a little bit less manufactured and pushed into the market.
Because everyone's like, screw it.
The money on the hood is helping out a lot of those. We're hearing that conversation. This is right in line. And, from the dealers that I'm talking to, March is moving. Sizzling. And we've got two more days, like, to end on a Friday, Saturday before Easter. Like,
well, some people are even ending on the Sunday.
On a Sunday. You can't write it, on a March, and when we had a little bit of a down February. Like, you can't write it better than this. So I can't wait to see what the actual numbers come out with. I can't wait. I'm sure LinkedIn and Facebook are going to be flooded on Monday and Tuesday with we broke records posts, which always just gets me amped.
Yes.
I'm just excited to see that. And also to see that consumer confidence is high, right? That consumers are buying and ready to buy, and that there's liquidity and assets out there. It's good news for our economy. And I think a lot of other industries will point to what auto has done in March and say, hey, look, we're good. So,
yeah. Speaking of, hey, look, we're good.
Stop. Yeah, we are. There it is. A little softball toss into that one.
We're going to talk about a new report from the M&A firm Presidio Group. I just want to mention that at AsotuCon, which we just talked about, we're going to have, I think it's a first ever, we're going to have three of the top M&A panels, or three in the top of the top M&A firms represented on a single panel. So the Presidio Group, Hague Partners, Kerrigan Advisors are all going to be on the panel. Wow. At the same time, we're going to have a great conversation about the broad scale M&A landscape. But basically, dealership values are experiencing a noticeable adjustment as supplies rise and profit margins begin to normalize post-pandemic. So here's some insights from this. What's the report called? I should know this. It's the quarterly Presidio Group report. We have it linked up in the show notes. But basically, this report is saying a 20.4% decline in net pre-tax profits across the board in 2023. Dealers are focusing on operational efficiencies, customer experience, and tech innovation to navigate the changing tides. The latest Dealer Direction Survey reveals a pragmatic outlook amongst dealers and recognizing the challenges ahead. It also says the role of technology in transforming dealer operations is really making its way to the forefront. This makes a ton of sense, right? Operational efficiency to sustain profits. And even though dealers are in agreement that profits will continue to drop over the next 12 months, they're still optimistic that profitability staying above pre-pandemic norms is going to happen. Profits last year are still more than 2.5 times what they were in 2018, according to the analysis.
That's pretty, I think just a lot of people need to just remember that. Mm-hmm. Remember, please, where we came from. And there's still a lot of good in the profitability of the industry. I think, you know, one of the questions that I heard Kapam a couple of times last week, or earlier this week, gosh, it feels like last week, was when we were at the Automotive Forum in New York at the beginning of the New York Auto Show, is this conversation around how to walk employees through the change in their personal incomes due to the profitability. Because I think dealerships by and large are still going to be profitable. Many of these owners were there pre-pandemic, so they understand what it takes to operate with that level of profitability, or still even more. But it's going to be the employees that were hired on in the last 3 years that you struggle or need to coach through how to manage finances when things have changed dramatically from what they did the last 2 or 3 years. But hey, like we just said, in March, things still good, fam.
Yeah,
things still good.
2.5 times is 250%. Imagine if 2018, you're like, hey, profits are going to be 100% higher in 6 years. Everybody be like popping champagne, right? 2.5 yep. times.
Let's well, speaking of things that aren't 100% higher in 6 years.
Not even close.
Segway. Time.
Not even close.
Not even close for your yearly Costco update. Because, hey, we got to bring you this story.
Costco hot dog update.
Yeah, the Costco hot dog update. In a world where inflation nudges prices upwards across the board, we're asking, where's the Costco hot dog going? Mm-hmm. Remarkably, it's staying flat at $1.50 a pop. If the company was to obey inflation and move that combo up as inflation went, we would be looking at a $4.50 cost if it was adjusted, which is still crazy low, but they've kept it at $1.50 price. During a recent interview, Richard Galani, Costco's longstanding finance chief who retired earlier this month, said it was, quote, probably safe for a while. They've done a few things with this combo, things like moving from cans to fountain sodas, manufacturing their own hot dogs and buns so they're not buying them wholesale from someone else. And they've raised prices on other menu items to balance the cost of that item. In 2009, Jim Senegal, Costco's co-founder, said, "I know it sounds crazy making a big deal about a hot dog, but we spend a lot of time on it," he added. We're known for that hot dog. That's something you don't mess with. Last year, Paul, the company sold over 130 million hot dog combos.
That is...
And a couple... We're to my family.
Mine too. That is literally when we were going over the story in the morning, I was like, I want a Costco hot dog combo right now.
It's one of those. It's like getting cotton candy at the park. You know what I mean? Yes. It's the same type of feel.
Well, I mean, this is just another a great example of a company who understands their brand. They understand where the profit comes from and where you don't have to make it come from. And this is kind of tying me back to like Will Gadara's book, Unreasonable Hospitality. There's a story in there where he was managing, you know, all the food service at Museum of Modern Art in New York. He had this gelato cart and he spent way too much money on these, he would call them perfect blue spoons. And he caught a lot of flack for it because they were very expensive. And obviously a spoon at a gelato is like a throwaway item. And he said, here's the deal. If you manage 98% of your budget really, really well, and you can be extravagant with that last unreasonable, with that last 1% or 2%, right? This is Costco, I think, doing the exact same thing. And it's become a brand icon and they're figuring out how to make it work. And I think Costco is doing okay. I don't know.
You know what I think the related thing in auto is like so many people, when they look to quote cut expenses, look, and this will blow your mind, Paul, but they look to like the snacks and coffee in the waiting area first. It's get the snacks out of here, drop the coffee down to the Folgers blend. Yep. And it's like, hey, if you manage the 98% of expenses that are much broader and much larger in the rest of your business, how extravagant could you be with the thing that just like sets the tone in the service department or waiting area?
Literally, I follow the same playbook here at Congruent in our headquarters here, where we just have like this nice, it's kind of like fancy bottled water. It comes in an aluminum can and it's more expensive than a plastic bottle, but everyone comments on it and it just sets the tone for the experience that you're having here because we spent another 50 cents. Right now, we're not moving like 100,000 bottles of water every year, but at the same time, I will not have, plastic would be okay, but I won't have like the supermarket brand.
Natural spring.
yeah,
whatever. Water. Yeah. Yeah. No,
I won't. Because
it like falls apart in your hand, makes you feel angry.
No, but at the snack bar, it's a perfect example. Like, what are the little things like overall? It's a very little amount of money, but it makes people feel like, oh, like they're taking care of me. That's taking right. care of me. Yep. Hey, look, we hope you get out there today. Whatever you're doing, take care of one another. We got a busy Friday, busy Saturday, busy Sunday for some people. Some people are going to be celebrating Easter on Sunday. So if that's the case, celebrate well. We will see you here next week.